Okay, our opening scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, and I'm quoting from the NASB. It says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify." And that is pretty much going to be the context of my sermon. And I like what Lori put in here, just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's a nice touch, isn't it? If there's one thing that seems to mark our time in history more than any other time, it would be this epidemic of, it seems like this ever-increasing epidemic of drug use. And not only epidemic of drug use, but with it, an increased acceptance of certain drugs. Right now, according to Gallup poll, they say that about 60% of Americans support the legalization of marijuana. And one question that naturally comes out of this is, how did this happen? Just back in 2005, about 67% of Americans were against the legalization. So something on a huge scale has flipped this. And there are several answers why. One is there has been a great campaign that has been well-funded. And along with it, there has been a lot of misinformation, which I'm going to share with you today. In fact, if I can be 100% honest, as I began to do my research on this, I was shocked at how much damage marijuana does to the human body. Absolutely shocked. So there is this campaign. Secondly, it was promoted through a certain amount of guys under the cover of medical marijuana. And I'm not saying that there isn't any benefits to marijuana. There are. However, there are medical benefits to opium, such as morphine, but we don't smoke it to get it, right? What we do is we find those ingredients, we isolate it, and then we put them in some kind of medicinal form, whether it might be a pill form or a liquid form. Right now, they actually have a spray form for the medicinal benefits that can come from marijuana without having all the fallout that can come by smoking it. And the FDA, by the way, has fast-tracked this. But until then, there are plenty of people, to a certain degree, who can't help but sympathize when it's being used to alleviate pain, such as when someone is dying from cancer. I'm not saying that I'm necessarily one of them, because I think there's plenty of other ways to be able to alleviate pain. But here's the problem. When I say it is being used under the guise of medical benefits, what I mean it in this way. Prescription drugs hold us to a certain amount of accountability. By having drugs prescribed, there's an accountability process where if you run out of the prescription, like say, if I'm pronouncing it right, Naproxen, I've even used that, which also alleviates pain, then you have to go back to the doctor or at least contact the doctor to be able to get a refill. Not so with marijuana, because what they now do is they simply give people a marijuana card, where now you can go and you can kind of buy it in a much less regulated way. And thus, to some degree, they are having access to it, kind of like some who use it for recreational use. Several states have legalized marijuana: Alaska, Washington, Oregon, and Colorado. But because of the fallout, some of these states, at least some of these people in these states, are beginning to reconsider what they've done. One of the fallouts is that there is an increase in car accidents because of this drug. I'll go into that a little bit more detail later. But another fallout is that marijuana is one of the number one gateways that ends up causing people to seek out stronger drugs. Why is that? Because what marijuana does, it begins to deteriorate the brain, begins to destroy the brain. It ends up suppressing the brain's ability to produce dopamine. And dopamine is a chemical that allows us to experience pleasure. And that pleasure, of course, is a part of what helps provide motivation. And by the way, I should tell you this. Most of the information that I'm sharing with you comes from this book titled Going to Pot, written by William Bennett, as well as another co-author. And he was, at one time, I guess you could call the drug czar. He was the director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy under George Bush. But it is amazing how many institutions, how many colleges, how many universities are coming out with warnings, don't do it. Great Britain, one of their schools of medicine, says that this change in lower dopamine level causes users to seek out more powerful marijuana. Marijuana that has higher levels of THC, because when your dopamine is being decreased in your brain, you now have to find another way to alter. You're not getting as much pleasure from it. One argument that proponents use for marijuana to justify the use of it is that they tell us that it is better than alcohol because alcohol ends up leaving you with a hangover. In response to this, psychiatrist Robert DuPont, who's also president of Behavior and Health Institute, wrote, the fact that marijuana does not cause a hangover after heavy use is not an advantage at all. Marijuana stays in the brain for a long time. In fact, researchers have found that after someone has not smoked it, say, even up to a week, they can still find residual marijuana within them. And one thing they have found that marijuana does is impairs your motor skills. And with that, they have found that users, because of it, have an increased rate of accidents, both on the job and in cars. Researchers from Queensland University has found that those who are under influence of marijuana while driving double their chances when they're behind the wheel into getting into an accident. So imagine, here you are at work. Maybe you've not smoked for a couple of days, but the marijuana is still inside you, and because it is impairing your motor skills. It's impairing your ability to work. It's impairing your ability to drive. The consequences of this has sometimes been either an accident that has caused their death, and if not their death, the death of others. Another fallout, due at times to their searching out a stronger drug, is that it often leads to financial ruin, where they have a financial nightmare, where they start conniving on how to support their habit. They find themselves perhaps being willing to sell drugs. If not that, to support their habit, they find themselves stealing, even if it means stealing from family members, because it leads to this insatiable appetite, this insatiable craving, where they cannot get enough because the brain is starting to deteriorate. Many cannot stop because now that they are addicted, and that gateway was marijuana. They become like the scripture that I quoted last week, Romans chapter 7:19. It says, "For the good that I want to do, I do not, but I practice the very evil that I do not want to do." They end up hating themselves to the point where they begin to end up having suicidal thoughts. Thoughts of, "I am no good. I am a liar. I am a conniver. I am a cheat. I am a thief," where I've even stolen from family members, the ones that I love the most. They end up pushing them out of the house. Then they have to go to friends. And they find that the cycle repeats itself all over again, and they begin to steal even from their friends. And then their friends end up having to push them out. And then they are left with no one wanting them anymore, including sometimes even a spouse. Did we not have a testimony of that right here by our beloved brother Don, with what he struggled and what he went through? Again, when this comes full circle, they can't help but say, not only am I no good, but no one loves me. Although we know that isn't true, that's what they end up feeling. This is the cycle that Satan wants everyone to eventually reach, where they enter then into a depression, oppression that leads them to suicidal thoughts, to which some have committed suicide. The fallout that comes from this marijuana sometimes doesn't just fall on the individual themselves. If they're a parent, it often falls on the children. I know of a testimony of a young girl who felt absolutely betrayed by her father, who got himself involved in marijuana. She said she couldn't help but suspect the reason there was not food in the house was because of his habitual habit. The reason why everything in the house began to be pawned away for money. How when she and her brother knew that when he was starting to come down from a high, that it was time to hide. She experienced incidents where people in the middle of the night would be banging on their door, cursing, wanting to fight their dad. Their house was broken into at least once a month. It sounds like some were either looking for drugs or wanting some kind of compensation for his not paying them. She said this marijuana did this, and what it produced was a dysfunctional father. Once marijuana becomes legalized, they know for a fact what it'll cause. It'll cause more people to start experimenting with it. As that happens, you then will end up with a society that has more and more dysfunctional people. And because of that, there will be more and more dysfunctional families. What this drug will eventually lead to is chaos. In addition, imagine the people next door, when someone is banging on someone's door wanting payment for their drugs, how that might make them feel. When we lived in Fitchburg, there was an apartment next to where we lived, and there was a lot of crime and drug use, so much so that one time the U.S. Marshal showed up. Now just imagine if you lived in that apartment and you know that some of this drug stuff, paraphernalia, is going on next door, you can't help but begin to wonder, will they try and rob me? Am I safe even to go out to my car? And my point is this, what this drug is going to do and has done is it begins to create paranoia. And as that begins to grow, it can affect an entire society. I think there are times when God has certain things happen, and there's something that happened while I was in the middle of doing this sermon. I get a call from this guy named Darwin. Do you remember Darwin? McDowell? This was at our last church. He calls me. I haven't heard from him for probably 10 years. And he says, Pastor George, I'm in Teen Challenge. And I think he was calling me for two reasons. One, to thank me because I had introduced him to Teen Challenge. And two, because he wanted me to hold him accountable, because in 2 months, he'll graduate. And this was his fear. He had lost everything. Imagine. He had a great job. For a long time, he would be what you would call one of these functional addicts, where he was doing okay. But he ended up losing his job because what marijuana led him to was cocaine. Again, he did all right for a while, but it eventually caught up with him. He lost his job. He tried to get another job. He lost that job. He went to try and get another job. He lost that job, and it got to the point where his wife could not take it anymore. And not only did he lose his job, he lost his wife, and he lost his children. He's calling me up, and he doesn't want that cycle to repeat again. So he says, Pastor George, here's the good news. When I graduate, my kids are willing to have me back. I'm going to move to that state where they're at. But how many years has he lost? I am so glad that he's back on track. But he's lost probably at least a minimum. I would say we haven't contacted him in 10. He's probably lost a minimum of 7 years of his children growing up. This drug is destructive. another fallout due to the use of marijuana, especially for those who start in their teen years and they smoke it just once a week, and they do it up until their mid-20s, they have found that individuals who do that will have their IQ drop 8 points. That may not sound like a lot, but if you're of average intelligence, it is the difference from being able to obtain a certain college degree that you may want versus not being able to obtain it. And once those 8 points are lost, the research seems to indicate you will not gain it back. What happens is you also begin to lose your ability to think clearly. After a while, your brain is becoming destroyed. You lose your ability to focus, and it begins to destroy your memory. And along with that research, it is clearly showing that there's a greater increase if someone is attending college and they're smoking. It is showing clearly that marijuana users have a higher chance of ending up of dropping out. In a job setting, it can be the difference between you being chosen or skipped over. And right now, jobs are getting harder in America. Dr. Breiter at Northwestern University has done a ton of research on this topic of marijuana. And this is what he said, and this is a quote, word for word. If I could design a drug that could be the worst possible thing for students, meaning to take, it would be marijuana. Institution after institution is publicly coming out against the legalization of marijuana as a recreational drug. The American Lung Cancer has come out against it. They know for a fact that a person who smokes, say, tobacco versus one who smokes marijuana, the one who smokes marijuana has an increase of putting tar in their lungs fourfold. The American Medical Association has come out speaking against it. I don't know if it was them for sure, but what they have done is they have scanned the brains of marijuana users, and what they have found is that certain parts of the brain begin to shrink. This one Dr. Volkow, Nora Volkow, she's with NIDA, I'm not exactly sure what that represents, but she said the brain scans have shown the hippocampus begins to shrink, and that's the center for emotion. The American Psychiatric Association is saying, don't! It has been demonstrated that marijuana increases the risk of mental illness, such as psychosis, schizophrenia, anxiety, and depression, not just doubling it, but up to fivefold. Study out of Northwestern University indicates that individuals that have a family history of schizophrenia have a far greater risk of developing if they smoke this marijuana. The American Cancer Society speaking out against it. There are 33 carcinogens found in marijuana, cancer-causing carcinogens. The American Academy of Pediatrics, get this, out of Massachusetts has shared exposure to neurotoxins during the brain's development period can permanently alter the structure and the function of those brains. This is especially true for the teens who are smoking it to their mid-20s. During this time, the brain is developing, and its development can be altered. And yet we have people who have the audacity to tell the American people that marijuana is harmless, that it is just a herb. There's countless organizations that are coming out speaking out against this. And it's not just institutions. Some of our universities have come out warning the public, do not make this a recreational drug. Harvard University, University of Wisconsin, Duke University, University of Montreal, New York Icahn University of Medicine at Mount Sinai. Then there's universities that are overseas coming to the same conclusion. Imperial College of London, University College of London, King's College of London. And again, as I said a moment ago, Northwestern University has related plainly, this drug is one of the best ways to destroy a student. Now, up to this point, Many Christians have been very ignorant on the truth of this topic. Why? Because much of our information has been limited to the news or what politicians have to say. But now that we have all this scientific information, they can no longer accuse us as they have, such as being deniers. Neither can they accuse us of some right-wing conspiracy. I mean, after all, these institutions and these universities are not conservative. They're what? Liberal. They're coming out with this conclusion, and some of them are extremely liberal. So why is it, if we have all of this information from both universities and institutions, that there's still this large support from the populace to make it a recreational drug? And this is where I'd like to have you hear this for yourself, if we could bring this gentleman up. He's a speaker,
issue with legalization speaks
across the world.
Is the fact that we're talking about industries that promote addiction and then essentially have to target kids in order to do that. Raise your hand in here if you know somebody who's a drug addict.
And if you could go to the next one.
Who started using their when you were a child. Now, what does that mean? That means that industries, because they need lifelong customers, have to target kids. They have to target young people. That is part of the playbook if you want to make any money in this business.
Okay, thank you. Two different times while he's speaking, he brings this point up. Why is it being still so prominent? It's because there are industries working behind the scenes. They're well-funded. They have a lot of money to make. You know, I hate to say this, but it's one of the weaknesses of capitalism, and it's greed. Greed, even at the expense of our own children. This guy has a doctorate degree. His name is Kevin Sabat, and this is one of his specialties in going and having done study on the destruction of what marijuana does. These groups that are well-funded, well-organized, are behind much of this push. I'm sure most of us here have heard at times where a pharmaceutical company, despite the fact they knew their product was damaging the health of their clientele, they still kept it out on the market because the money they would profit from would still outweigh the fine that they would receive. But this is a major reason as to why there still is this uphill battle. But the more Christians are willing to share the truth, the more we'll be able to have an opportunity, if not in the lives of others, at least within our own circles. We may not be able to change the world, but we can at least hopefully begin to change what's taking place in our own homes by protecting our children. And yet there's another reason as to why we need to make sure that we get this right. And this is where I'm going to ask if you would, please turn to Revelation 18, and I'll close with this. But this is so important. Revelation chapter 18, we're going to be looking at two verses. And I want to give you a second because I want you to see this with your own eyes. Please, Revelation chapter 18. As you're turning there, the two verses that we're going to look at talk about a powerhouse that's going to exist in the end times called Babylon. This is a symbolic name to Babylon that existed before. And there's going to be one in the future. The reason they're using this name Babylon is because former Babylon in ancient times was one, it was a capital. It had great power. It had great wealth. It was a place of world trade, but it was dominated by decadence and lots of idol worship. In the end times, there's going to be a city like this from which the leaders of the world will take their orders from. Kind of like the way the leaders of the world are trying to work through the UN right now. The Bible tells us that there's going to be 10 nations that are going to form a league of power, and they're going to be powerful. And isn't it interesting? The UN has formed a charter, and they've divided the world up into 10 sections. Amazing. So I'm going to read verse 2, okay? Revelation 18, verse 2. Fallen is Babylon. She has become a dwelling place for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. So according to these verses, aside from humans being in this city, what else is there? Talk to me. You read it? Did you hear that? Demons. Don't ever think demons aren't involved in politics. They most certainly are. Demons. It's going to be a place, a haunt. So according to this verse, this will be their dwelling place. So it's going to be a place of extreme wickedness. Now, same chapter, please turn to verse 23. Verse 23. Are we there? It says, the light of the lamp will never shine in you again. What has happened is God's judgment has now come down on Babylon. As a consequence, the light of the lamp will never shine again. Your voice of a bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's important people. By your magic spells, all the nations were led astray. So this verse is telling us that as far as the city goes, its lamp's going to be put out. It's going to experience so much judgment, there won't even be able to be another wedding to take place there. You're going to be destroyed. And then the last part of that verse says that by your magic spells, you what? Led astray. My version says deceived the nations. Now I've got a question. That last part that I just spoke about with magic spells, does anybody in this church, does their version read it a little different? Instead of magic spells, it says something else. Did you hear that? Sorcery. Sorcery. That's exactly what it is in the Greek. What is sorcery? Well, some dictionaries describe it as witchcraft. But interesting what the Webster's dictionary says. It says the use of power gained by the assistance of control by evil spirits. Specifically, what evil spirits? Well, we read about them in verse 2, and you told me what they were. Demons. So demons are going to be involved in magic spells. They're going to be involved in sorcery in the end times. Now, I'm going to pull something up on the screen. If you would, please bring this up. You see that word up there? It starts with a P. That's what it is in the Greek for sorcery. But I'm going to ask you, see if you can pronounce that word. Very good. Say it again. Pharmakia. Pharmakia. That's the sorcery word. Does that sound like an English word? There you go. Pharmacy. I find it interesting. As we consider this, this is telling us that pharmacy, this word sorcery, is going to involve drugs. Matter of fact, do you have the other definition underneath it? Pharmakia, do you see where it says administering drugs? Properly drug-related sources like the magic practical art. This is one of the reasons why you want to stay away from marijuana. It's a drug in which there's nothing that would please Satan more than to see all of America drawn into. Why? Because drugs weaken the will. Drugs deaden our motivation. And that's what marijuana does. Such as to say no. And they know that for a fact. Nothing could delay Satan more than to have a whole society of people who have been drugged and perhaps taking it for years, where they don't have the motivation to say no anymore. And instead of being servants of God, they become servants of the evil one. American Indians have known from eons. Shamans down in South America have known for eons that if they want to contact the spiritual world, one of the first things they do first is they get drugged up. Do you hear me? This is so important that we get. That's why you want to stay away from marijuana and other drugs. You see, Satan uses marijuana and drugs as a gateway into the soul. True story. Comes from Teen Challenge. This lady was working there. She said her son ended up coming to Teen Challenge, and her son told her one time he was in the back seat. I don't remember what drug he was using, but he was driving with some friends. I think it might have been cocaine. He's driving with some friends. He said that when he looked up into the mirror, he saw a demon sitting next to him in the mirror laughing. That's why in the end times he wants nations to legalize drugs, because it weakens the will of man. It causes their spirit to relax, to be accepting. He wants people to drop their guard so that he can work through them. And sometimes not only to work through them, but to possess them. There's something about drugs that makes it easier for a person to go into a trance where it allows demons to have better chance to influence their thinking or better access into their soul. Please hear me. When you hear someone say, "It's just a herb, it's just a harmless drug," remember this. Maybe buy this book for yourself. Demons want marijuana to be a recreational drug because it can become a gateway both for demons and for hell. It can ruin relationships not only with your family, it can ruin your spiritual relationship with your Heavenly Father. And that's what Satan wants. That's why I've titled this sermon, "Wrecked Relational Fallout from Recreational Marijuana." 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, like marijuana, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember that this marijuana destroys the lungs, it destroys the heart, it destroys the brain. It destroys even motivation, where people can reach a point of, "I just don't care." Father, help us, Lord, to understand that we are called to submit our lives to you, to your word, and that what people are trying to seek in drugs, you are the one that has the answer. We pray, Father, that you would awaken us and that you'd help us be a part of an army of people that are willing to speak out. And maybe we be wise enough to not have any part of this, so that Satan have no gateway into our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for our closing song of worship.